Introducing the Two-Way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the Two-Way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the Two-Way for yourself at NewBalance.com.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Welcome into Up in the Rafters, a podcast brought to you this basketball season by our friends over at Johnny T-Shirt. Co-hosting this, I'm Taylor Viplis. By national champion, the most outstanding player of the Final Four, and a Carolina basketball legend, the ACC Network's Joel Berry. Joel, Carolina goes to Charlotte. They make it out of the first weekend in March Madness. They beat 16 seed Wagner, and then they beat the winner of the 8-9 game, Michigan State. What were your biggest takeaways from this past weekend watching Carolina basketball?
Man, this is a good team, man. This is a really good team. I like the pieces. I like what I saw from them, particularly in the Michigan State game, outside of the 12-point deficit in the first half. But this is a talented team, man. And I like the way that they can win in multiple ways. I thought in the Wagner game, they did exactly what they needed to do. You know, those games are tough because you can kind of get sucked into doing things that you shouldn't be doing and trying to do extra stuff instead of just keeping it simple. You know, I thought they kept it simple after the first, you know, after they settled in. You know, some of the turnovers that they had early were just, you know, jitters finally starting a tournament. But I thought once they settled in, man, they looked like the dominant Carolina team. And then against Michigan State, I really liked the toughness, the grit, just the physicality that they show. You know, the Big Ten is always known for being physical, especially a Michigan State team. And I thought they really brought the fight to those guys after that timeout that Coach Davis had and went in there and ripped the guys a new butt. But I just liked the way that they responded and they came out and really put it to Michigan State. So overall, first weekend, man, I thought the fellas played exactly how they should play in the first weekend.
That Michigan State game was tricky because Carolina was a very small favorite. A lot of people were picking Michigan State to win that with their experienced guard play and the experience they're bringing and Tom Izzo in March. It was a preseason top five team. So even KenPom had them as a top 20 team. So definitely they were underseeded as a 9 seed and tough for that 1-9 matchup. Yeah. They looked great early, and we kind of talked about it off air where, you know, you live in Charlotte, they sent you to Bristol this weekend. I'm in Charlotte. The energy in that building when Carolina was down 12, very nervous.
I'm sure.
Nobody was really saying anything, and it felt like Carolina fans were just waiting for it to kind of get out of hand because it felt like that's the way it was trending. And you know, there's a bunch of analytics people who tweet out stats, and like Michigan State, I think, had given up the fewest 10-0 runs going into that game. So people thought it would be tough for Carolina to kind of come back. Something changed. What from you watching this game, what do you think changed and was able to kind of flip the switch for the Tar Heels?
Yeah, I thought Michigan State just came out in the first half, like in the beginning of the game, and it felt like they were just comfortable. You know, they were able to run whatever they wanted to run. They were getting shots. Tyson Walker was coming off of those pin downs and knocking down shots. Even Jaden Akins, he was knocking down shots. It felt like just outside of them making shots, it was like Michigan State was okay. They were saying, we're here to fight. We're bringing the fight to Carolina. And then once Coach Davis gave that short interview, it's what my shirt said, man. It's live action out there. It was live action. And the guys needed to step up, and Coach Davis got into them, and it changed from there, man. They got physical. They didn't allow them to run their sets like they were running dummy offense, and they made them do other stuff. So I really think that was the difference in stepping up that intensity on the defensive end. And naturally, in basketball, man, when you're bringing that energy defensively, it just something about it just translates to the offensive end. And that's what happened. And then from there, what happened? Shots started going in, and Michigan State couldn't do anything at that point.
Yeah, and when asked about what changed in his post-game press conference, Hubert Davis was pretty to the point where he just said, we just started competing.
Simple.
Yeah, he said that they kind of came into the huddle and was like, guys, there's really no point talking about any of the basketball stuff until we kind of, you know, step into the ring and get into this fight with this Michigan State team. And from that moment on, Carolina goes on a 23-3 run to close out the half. What was kind of going through your head when you're watching that? Because from my perspective in the Spectrum Center, it felt like something that I couldn't even believe when Carolina was pulling off that run.
Yeah, man. First off, I'm jealous that you were even in the building. You were in the building. I live in Charlotte, and you were in the building. And I'm looking from the TV like, man, I know it's crazy in there. But you can feel it. Like I can understand what you were saying, because from a TV perspective, like you felt the energy change if you were just looking at the crowd. And the guys were feeding off of that. But during that run, I thought there was some uncharacteristic shots by Cadeau and by Withers and by Trimble. It was like there were afterthought shots, like, oh, I'm wide open. Let me go ahead and shoot this. And I'm sitting in my head like, and no disrespect to those guys, but I'm sitting, it's a reason why you're wide open. Michigan State will live with them shooting those shots. And then all of a sudden, the momentum started changing. Cormack started hitting shots. Harrison started hitting shots. I thought Paxson Wojcik came in and played really well at one point. And, you know, he's one of those energy guys. He's the one that kind of like gets the crowd involved. And I thought that was I don't know if that was on purpose, but I thought that was very strategic that Coach Davis put him in, because it changed the energy. He's just one of those guys that brings energy and it permeates throughout the team. So it was that fight that they brought. And once they bought the fight, then it was like the energy was back on Carolina's side. And then they were able to knock down shots. And that really changed the ball game and why they went on that run.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned Paxson Wojcik, because if you had to pick one play that kind of sticks out from this game, it's the play where Carolina plays great defense for the entire shot clock. They force a tough contested shot from Michigan State. Long shot, long rebound. Paxson Wojcik gets it. He's running on the break, drives. He finds RJ Davis in the corner, hits the three. The building explodes after that, and Michigan State is forced to take a timeout. And, you know, even from that point on, the Carolina run just kept building and building and building through the half. And you had one point about the uncharacteristic shots from some of the North Carolina players when they're being left open. Is there anything Carolina can do to kind of counter that offensively? Because Elliott Cadeau is standing uncontested for a majority of the game. And it's a situation where the teams that, you know, challenge him and are picking him up from there, like the Florida States, he's cooking those teams with his ability to get by them. But the games where he has struggled more are these Michigan State type games where teams are more content with, you know, let me just sit back and give myself a little space from these drives. Is there anything Carolina can do to counter some of these actions that teams are throwing at Cadeau?
Yeah, I think the one thing that came to my mind is, okay, if my guy is sagging back inside the paint and I have the ball in my hand right at the three-point line, that's a great opportunity to go do a dribble handoff to, you know, RJ or Harrison Ingram, allow those guys to turn the corner, or for, like in RJ's instance, he can catch that and go right into, he's great off of coming off a 1-2 right into his shot. You know, I think that's something that you can, that Elliott or even Jalen Withers, when someone's back like that, you got to think about, okay, if I hand this ball off, what is there? There's space after that, because the guy's trying to chase over top. Now RJ can get into his mid-range. Harrison can get into that little floater that he likes to do. So that's what came to my mind. And then if they don't have the ball in their hand, say they do a quick, you know, if they do and then they pass it and toss it, they can go down and set a down screen or something and have one of those guys come off, and the defender that's in the paint doesn't have enough time to react and get out there on that switch or to be able to stop the ball. So initially that was my thought. Maybe they will, you know, they'll take a look at that on tape. There was one game earlier that I can't remember. It was in the second half. And remember, RJ was getting all of these like flare screens for shots. Yeah. I don't remember what game it was, but that's another action that they can utilize, is getting that flare, because the guy that's guarding Cadeau or Withers, those dudes are sucked down in the paint, man, and it's impossible to close out to the three-point line.
Yeah, and I one of the ones that you mentioned that I kind of noticed Carolina doing in the Michigan State game, especially to start the second half, where there was probably an attention to detail from the halftime adjustments, was Cadeau going and setting those down screens and trying to free up people. But he gets subbed out in the second half because Carolina needed some more defense, and that's something that Seth Trimble provided. Seth Trimble with two monster blocks in the second half. And in my post-game video, I mentioned that sometimes when I'm watching Seth, like, I still get like startled with how athletic he is, where he jumps and like it looks like he's gonna hit his head on the rim. You know, how crucial is it what he brings to this North Carolina team? Where his teammates after the game and they're talking about his impact, they're like, it's not a question to us. Seth is the best defender in the ACC.
It's so vital to a team. When I look at the makeup of teams, you know, it's just guys like him who have accepted their roles. It's just so key for a team. Like, you look at his stat sheet and you're like, well, what did he do? I mean, he only had 2 points. He shot 2 times. And it's just like, well, what did he do? He's one of those guys that, like, you have to watch the game to be able to see his impact and the impact that he has to be able to guard, the athleticism that he brings, you know, that defensive mindset that I am going to guard the best guy and I'm going to shut him down and not allow him to get anything. Like, that's what makes him so valuable coming off the bench. Like, I think about it, and it's no disrespect to Elliott. Like, Elliott is a great passer. But just think, all right, if we have a guy on the court that's not shooting the ball, why not just put Seth Trimble in and have him to where we go on a defensive end, we know we have a defender that can guard any player in the country. So I just think what he does is so valuable, man. He just really he just really guards the crap out of the ball, and it's something that you need coming off the bench.
Yeah, and I think that's an interesting point that you make about the Seth Trimble versus Cadeau minutes, where at times Carolina really needs Elliott to get their offense going and get them in the flow of the offense. But with Seth, you have this elite defender, and you're going into these very like matchup specific games now where teams do have a lot of time to prepare, and you're up against a team like Alabama, and they have Mark Sears, who's averaging 21 and a half points. I bet it is a conversation right now in Carolina's building. How much Seth is going to play, because this Alabama team looks like if you are able to slow down Sears, then you kind of cut off the head to the snake. But we've debated at times Cadeau's importance versus other people's importance. And now as we watch more games, I'm starting to shift to the opinion that the biggest X factor on this team after watching the Michigan State game is Harrison Ingram for this team, because he kind of seemed like the guy who flipped the switch the most. And he comes out and he scores 17 points against Michigan State, 5 of 7 from three. What did you see from Harrison in that Michigan State game, and especially as Carolina went on the run and in the second half, where they were leading the second half, Michigan State even cuts it to, I think, 2 points. But, you know, Carolina led from start to finish in that second half.
Yeah, he's another one of those guys that's essential to what Carolina is doing. You know, you look at the makeup of the team and you think, okay, who needs to be that third piece? And it's Harrison Ingram. And I just think that it's awesome to see, like, the game between NC State and the game between Michigan State. And you see a NC State game where Armando and RJ were on, and Harrison was off. Now you see a Michigan State game where Armando and RJ were still on. Now you are at the third piece of Harrison Ingram. It's like they have to consistently get that third piece. And I think if there's someone that I trust and believe that can bring that consistency, it's probably Harrison Ingram. And he just makes a difference, man. He can shoot it from the outside, but he's also another one of those guys that takes pride in what he's doing. He looks at the opposing guy across from him and say, look, I'm taking this personal. I'm here today. I'm going to show up today, and you're going to have to compete. And I love that about him. And I just think that's so essential to what they're doing. And I think, like I said, he can be that third piece that shows up. But also Cormack had a solid game as well. But I think consistency wise, Harrison Ingram can be that guy, just because he's so multi-dimensional and can do so many different things, from, you know, being able to shoot it, but also scoring the block, and can bring that rebounding to help on that end too.
Yeah. And it's always interesting to see what Harrison Ingram you are going to get, because the NC State version, Carolina most likely going to be in a dogfight of a game or even going to lose. But if you get the Harrison Ingram you got for, you know, what, 28 minutes against Michigan State after that first 12-minute period to start the game, Carolina has shown that they're just as good as any team in the country and a legit Final Four contender.
Right.
We know what we're going to get from RJ Davis every time out, it seems like, for this Carolina team. In the Wagner game, he was the leading scorer. In the Michigan State game, he was the leading scorer. You were somebody who is known for always playing your best in the biggest moments in March. You know, you don't get a most outstanding player of the Final Four without that kind of clutch gene. So what have you seen from RJ, and just the overall appreciation level for the way that he consistently does step up in these big moments?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing for RJ is, like, sometimes you'll see him, you know, take a shot, you know, when he's trying to get himself going. If he hasn't had a shot in a while, you know, he'll take a tough one. But overall, throughout the course of the season, I just really think he has let the game come to him. Like, in your mind, think about a game where it was like, wow, RJ is forcing it, unless the team was down, like in the NC State game. But he was hitting those shots, and they needed him to take shots because no one else was generating offense. But think about a time where you felt like he, like, compared to last year, where you were like, all right, he's kind of pressing. I never had that feeling of with RJ this year. And I just think that has been so valuable, is that he just let the game come to him, and he found the right shots. He's made the right plays. And he just seems poised and in control at all times. And this was something that I sent. I sent a text message to him earlier in the season, and I told him, I said, the thing that will help you in what you are doing is letting the guys know who are valuable. So your Seth Trimbles, your Jalen Washingtons, your Cormacs, letting those guys know, like, hey, we see what you're doing. Being able to get your teammates involved and let them know that what they're doing is very important and as important as what RJ has done for this team. And secondly, I told him, I said, get your teammates involved, and it'll make your game a little bit easier, because now you're coming in as the number one guy on the scouting report. If you just start forcing it, you're playing in right into what they want to do. But if your teammates get involved and start making shots and are being productive, now they have to stay honest, and then you can go be RJ. So those two aspects of him crediting his teammates, always giving credit to his teammates, but also allowing his teammates to do what it is that they do and just allowing the game to come to him, man, that totally has that. That's something that stood out to me, and he has done that consistently. And I think that's why he shows up every single game. And when you look at the stat sheet, you're like, oh, crap, he had 20 points. Oh, he had 22 points. It didn't seem like it. And that's what happens when you allow the game to come to you.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that, because I had that reaction a couple of times over the weekend when I start to do like my post-game stuff, where I'm like, I think it was the Wagner game, where I'm like, man, that was a quiet 22 for RJ. Right. Because it did not feel like that. And I think that's a testament, like you said, to him kind of letting the game come to you. And he's the exact type of guard that you want in March, when guard play matters the most. And when you add him with Armando Bacot, it's as good as any duo in the country. And you look at Bacot in the game against Michigan State, 18 points, 7 rebounds, 3 assists and 2 blocks. I thought early Michigan State was their bigs were catching it wherever they wanted. They were catching it in the circle, inside the circle, you know, just turning over their shoulders, shooting over Armando like he wasn't even standing there. And one of the cool moments that I observed at courtside was Armando checks out in the end of Carolina's run at the end of the first half, and Hubert Davis was kind of like patting him on the chest and saying, like, you know, this run happened because of you. Like, you're the one who made it happen. What did you see from Armando defensively? Because we've talked about how improved Armando is as a defender, all ACC defensive team, but it does still feel like a under-talked about part of Mondo's game.
Yeah, man, I just – the one thing that has stood out to me is just how well he moves. I think that's an underrated aspect of his game, is the way that sometimes he's able to switch out on guards and be able to still have an impact and be able to still guard those guys. But also, like, even in the drop coverage, being able to kind of just play that game of, you know, stepping up, stepping back, and then just being able to protect the rim, like, you know, going against AJ Hogard, who is a guy that can get downhill with the best of them, and he just wiped it off of the glass. Like, it's so valuable to have a guy that in necessary situations where you need to switch, he is able to switch and be able to move his feet. And, like, think about the lineup when you bring in Jalen Withers and you have him at the four. You got Seth guarding the best player, and then you got a five man that can move his feet. You can switch 1 through 5 and be just fine. Like, I really do think that this is an offensive team, but this team defensively is really, really good. And Armando is a big part of that, because he is a big that can move his feet. And I'll give people an example. Look at Hunter Dickinson at Kansas. Like, that dude can't guard a soul, and that impacts the team. But look at Armando, what he does. He's so mobile, man, and can guard so well that if I'm a guard, I'm like, okay, I know my back line got me. I know that RJ has Armando has me, and I know that Withers has me. But I can go on and on about it. But, man, unbelievable how he can move his feet and how well he moves as a five.
You mentioned Jalen Withers at the four, and he kind of had a breakout game in the Wagner game coming back to his hometown of Charlotte. And I think one of the things that impressed me with Withers, besides his overall, you know, it's obvious the energy he brings and his ability to get to the basket, but I also think he's a really good cutter and mover without the basketball. And it's something like when Armando is getting post touches and teams are trying to double, Withers' ability to kind of find space and find these lanes to drive creates another dynamic for this Carolina offense. What did you kind of see from Jalen Withers this weekend in his return to his hometown of Charlotte?
I think his activity is valuable, man. And it brings a sort of type of energy to this team where, you know, they're seeing him being active, other guys start getting active, and he just makes he makes those plays that, you know, you don't necessarily like, you're like, I don't know about that. Oh yeah. Okay. I like that. Like when he hit the ball out of Hall's hand and it hit off his knee, like that describes him in a nutshell. Like, he just does plays where it's like, okay, I don't know about that one, but it worked out. And I like that. But he's just one of those guys, man. It seems like the ball just finds his hand. And he just brings that energy and he just brings that athleticism off of the bench that you need. So I like the way that he's playing right now. I think he understands his role and what he needs to do. And in the Michigan State game, where like another underrated aspect of what Armando did in that game is the way that he passed out of double teams.
Yeah.
And so just being able to be alert, being able to cut to the basket, even if it's bringing a defender, then someone's on the backside open. So Jalen Withers' just mindset and what he's doing and accepting that role, man, you can't ask for anything better when a guy understands what he needs to do.
Quick break so I can remind everybody about our friends over at Johnny T-Shirt. If you're going to be in Chapel Hill, you can visit them on Franklin Street. If not, no worries. You could go to johnnytshirt.com. They have everything the Carolina basketball fan could possibly want. The hats, the T-shirts, the jerseys, you name it, they've got it. I'm on Johnny T-Shirt's website right now. They have the Sweet 16 shirt. They have the Beating Duke Twice shirt. They have the regular season ACC men's basketball champion shirts. It's like you could get an entire new wardrobe just over the past month with things that they have. Johnny. With things that they have over at Johnny T-Shirt. Great people, great customer service. And don't forget, Inside Carolina premium subscribers save 10% off their orders. Is there a sense of relief making it out of the first weekend when you're watching, you know, a lot of these guys on the teams are just fans of basketball, so they're keeping an eye on what's happening around the country, and you have these big teams getting upset here. Is there that sense of relief just being able to make it out of the first weekend and having that chance to kind of hit the reset button before you move on to the next site?
Yeah. You hit it right on the head, man. It's a huge relief. I think about it. Okay. You're a one and you play a 16, you have an 8-9 playing their game. Like, think about the intensity of an 8-9 versus a 1-16. And then it's like, you know, going against Wagner, you're playing against guys who 6'7", 6'8". And then, you know, you're playing with, you know, against a lot more size. Like, I just think that 1-16 is kind of that 1-16 going into an 8-9 is like, it's a huge bump in talent and intensity. So it's tough. Like, I just think about when we played Texas Southern and then we went and played the Arkansas team, like that was a huge difference. And we almost got knocked out. And you know, wouldn't be a national championship if we didn't win that game. So it's just tough. But when you make it out of that first weekend, you're like, okay, now you get a chance to see if the team is ready to make a run. You know, it's like, all right, they're here to play. So I just think it's very, very, it's a huge relief from a team perspective, but also from a fan's perspective to get out of that first weekend, especially when you look around the country and you got, you know, Kentucky getting knocked off. You know, you got Auburn getting knocked off, like these teams that came in with high expectations. I don't even want to get started on that because it's a lot of apologizing that needs to be said from a lot of folks about the ACC.
You must have read my mind because that was my next question. I had the stats lined up from the first weekend where the ACC goes 8-1. The Big East goes 6-0. The SEC goes 5-6. The Big Ten goes 6-4. The ACC this season has just as many teams in the Sweet 16 this year as the Big Ten has had the past three tournaments combined. We've heard all season that this was a down year for the ACC. The ACC might be a two-bid league. And we get to the tournament every time somebody says something like the ACC is a two-bid league, we're like, when you get to the tournament, the last team standing, there's a good chance it's going to be whatever ACC teams you put in. And they're like, oh, you can't say that. This is a down year for the ACC. How do you know that? Because it happens every year. We do this every year. You know what? If the committee put Pitt in the tournament, Pitt is probably still playing right now.
Man, it's a down year. Like, that word just needs to be tossed out of everyone's vocabulary when they're speaking about the ACC. Please. It's just, man, it doesn't make sense. Like you said, hey, Vip, how do you know that's going to happen? History. look at the history, man. It will, like, you and I won't be on the earth when the Mountain West, if they ever catch up to what the ACC has done in the NCAA tournament. It will literally, our children might not be here. That's how long it will take for them to catch up to the history of what the ACC has done in the NCAA tournament. So I just don't understand it. Carolina, Duke, oh, they're not at top of the conference. Oh, it's a down year. Oh, now they are. Oh, it's still a down year. What are we doing here? Who said two bit? Come on, man. Two bit? It's disrespectful. And to your point, if we had Pitt in and we had Wake Forest in, those teams will continue to play. You know why I think teams in the ACC play so well? Because there's a mix of talent. There is, you go against different type of talent. You got five men that can step out and shoot threes. You can do all, they have so many different players in the ACC is why when they get to the tournament, there's no surprise that that they can guard or go against any of these teams because they've seen so much during the ACC. And lastly, I just want to say, I watched the Mountain West. No, not even close to the talent. Every single one of those teams will finish at the bottom of the ACC if they join. That's my two cents, and I'm done.
We need the college football playoff committee to be the selection committee because they do it with Alabama where it's like, how did Alabama make the playoffs this year with a couple of losses? Because we've seen what Alabama does when they get in the playoffs. They right. have another gear. They've proven it time and time again. They get the benefit of the doubt. It's about time to start extending that benefit of the doubt to the ACC, agreed. Especially, you know, in February, because this is a conversation I feel like we have every February and every March. The ACC is kind of proving the committee wrong with the teams that they put into the tournament. Before we wrap up, a big shout out to our friends at Congruity. Congruity is a North Carolina-based national coverage, local presence company with personal support straight from the Tar Heel State. Congruity is empowering small and mid-sized business owners with HR and payroll outsourcing, enabling you to grow your business while they take care of your greatest assets, your people. And they are doing it with top-of-the-line technology and services for every stage of your business's growth with a state-of-the-art online platform. Congruity, they are obsessed with customer service where they become part of your team. They do the heavy lifting, providing essential admin support with a single point of contact and support available on demand with services that are tailor-made for you, transforming your organization. Congruity has helped hundreds of businesses improve and enhance their day-to-day lives, level up your HR capabilities, save money, unlock game-changing growth. Visit congruityhr.com/Tar Heels to learn all about Congruity. Fill out a quick form to be connected to their consultants, and they'll give Inside Carolina listeners or viewers a payroll and HR assessment for free. That's congruityhr.com/Tar Heels. congruityhr.com/Tar Heels. All right, back to the episode. But next up for Carolina, a matchup with the 4 seed Alabama in the West region. From what you've seen from Alabama, how does Carolina match up with them? Because I'm looking on KenPom, and they are the number 14 team on KenPom, but that's with the 4th best offense and the 101st defense. So it's a pretty similar profile to a team like Kentucky, and those teams are known for not having the tournament success that, you know, some of the top 25s have.
Yeah. That defense is what intrigues me, because Alabama will have to come out and guard, because Carolina can score with the best of them. You're talking about a team that at one point hung 100 on the 4th best defense in the country, in the Tennessee Volunteers. And, you know, consistently Carolina can play in the 85s, 90s. They can also play in the 60s. It depends on what the game presents. So Alabama will need to come out and guard the ball. But Carolina, I think, matches up well. And I honestly think they have an advantage, because Armando's down in the post. And I don't think Alabama has anyone physically wise that can guard Armando, especially the Armando that we've seen in the here recently. Guard wise, I think they match up well. But, you know, I think we have – Carolina has players that can limit what Alabama can do. I think about a Michigan State team. Like, Michigan State is very guard dominant. And look what happened. A.J. Hogarth only had 3 points. I mean, Tyson Walker had his. But you're limiting a guy that can also get it going. And that's a key factor. I think this is the same thing with Alabama, where they're very guard heavy. And Mark Sears and Aaron Estrada. I think Cormac, Seth. Even RJ, man, the way he steps up and play defense, I think these guys are going to take on the challenge and limit them. And then you can allow some of these other guys. And then I know Grant Nelson is a guy that can step out and shoot the three. But to my point earlier, this isn't something that Carolina hasn't seen through the course of the season, or hasn't seen throughout the season, you know, having a 5-man that can step out and hit the three.
Yeah, and Alabama is a team that relies so heavily on the 3-point shot. Yeah. And I was watching them play the Grand Canyon game, and that was the best worst game I've ever watched. It was,
oh my gosh.
It was so chaotic. Players were just falling on the floor, shots were just getting chucked up.
Free
throws were being missed. Yeah. Alabama's best offense at sometimes in that game was a missed free throw. And they were just getting the offensive rebound and going right back up with it.
Right, right. I think at one point Grand Canyon was 11 for 24 from the three for the free throw line. Like, just make your free throws, y'all would be good.
Yeah, but according to KenPom, Alabama has the worst adjusted defensive efficiency remaining, with that 101 ranked defensive rating. But Carolina back in action. It's the Sweet 16. This Thursday, late tip, 9:39 Eastern time on CBS. Joel, appreciate the time as always, and appreciate everybody watching and listening.
Yes, sir. Go Heels.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
You ready, Bob?
Well, all right.
Audiences are raving. Bob Marley is electrifying. It's the feel-good movie of the year.
You dig?
Bob Marley, One Love. Rated PG-13. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.